Philip II of Macedonia, Peace Talks with Athens, Part 2. Now the Athenians were received with great courtesy at Pella and entertained lavishly, as was to be expected of important visitors to the royal court. All 10 had prepared speeches to be delivered in order of age and experience. Philip listened with patience to them all, something that took at least several hours. Asines was the 9th speaker, claimed to have reminded Philip of the past goodwill shown to his family by Athens. More boldly, he repeated the claim of Athens' claim to Amphipolis. Demosthenes, as the youngest and most junior, spoke last. He was well known for the care with which he prepared and scripted any speech, not trusting himself to speak off the cuff unless he could not avoid it. Asines, who as a former actor was always more comfortable in the limelight, claims that Demosthenes had a fit of nerves and after a bad start dried up altogether. Philip is supposed to have shown sympathy, encouraged him to take his time and continue when he was ready. According to his rival, the famous orator stumbled on for a while, becoming ever less coherent until he fell silent. A herald led the Athenians out of the room, presumably while the king and his advisers discussed the matter. When they were all summoned again, Philip spoke graciously, answering each argument in turn, often naming the orator in question, though never Demosthenes, at least according to his rival. The king concluded with warm expressions of his goodwill towards Athens, proof, according to Asines, that the mention of Amphipolis had in no way enraged him. He agreed to send his own ambassadors to Athens to continue negotiations while he went off to fight against people in Thrace. As a further mark of friendship, Philip promised not to take any action against the Gallipoli Peninsula unless the talks failed. The campaign was to be his main effort in the spring of 346 BCE, although Parmenion was also dispatched with a force to besiege Halys on the Gulf of Pagus, which was an Athenian ally, which was in conflict with the Thessalian city of Pharsalus. Philip was thus showing his support of the interests of some Thessalians while promising to return later in the year to lead them against Phocis and resolve the sacred war once and for all. Parmenio left the siege of Halys for a while to serve as ambassador to Athens. He was joined by Antipater, later a very important man, and Eurylochus. All three were distinguished Macedonian noblemen, and Demosthenes was among those who entertained them while they were in the city, boasting that he had done so in a generous style appropriate to the welcome shown by Philip to the Athenians and to Macedonian fashion. On his suggestion, the assembly voted to give the envoys front seats in the theater. More practically, 2 days, by modern reckoning in April, were set aside for the assembly to debate the question of peace with Macedonia, in a rare exception to the usual practice of deciding any matter in one session. Philip claimed to want not simple peace, but peace without true time limits, and with an alliance of equality between Macedonia and his allies and Athens and her allies. The prospect was very tempting, but other indications were less flattering to Athenian honor. Philip made it clear that this must be on the basis of each side holding all that they currently controlled, slamming the door to Athenian dreams of recovering Amphipolis and other lost territory. In addition, Athens' allies were to be restricted to only these formal members of her confederation. Phocis was excluded, as was Halys, which the Athenians had been supplying, and also in due course, King Sephiratis. On the first day of the debate, much hot air was expanded, discussing what Athens would prefer to have. There was talk of past greatness, with the implication that this entitled them to better treatment and thumping boasts about Athenian might and the strength of her fleet. The next day, since Philip's envoys did not shift in their statements of his position, Ebolus concentrated his fellow citizens' mind on a blunt statement that they must either accept Philip's demands or resolve to fight against him, with all the cost in blood and bullion that implied. There was a little wriggling, and measures were proposed in the hope of improving the terms and further negotiations. But a motion by Philocrates to accept was passed comfortably, and Philip's ambassadors were helped on their return journey to carry the news. Demosthenes played an important part in making sure that Philip's terms was accepted, specifically refusing to add Crestophales to Athenians' formal allies when an attempt was made to do this a little later. His close involvement in what became known as the Peace of Philocrates was one of the reasons why he worked so hard to distance himself from it as soon as it was convenient. The Athenians and their allies swore solemn oaths to abide by the treaty, and then sent the same 10 ambassadors to Philip so that he and his allies could do the same and complete the process. Since the king was still in Thrace, this was to take some time. Philocrates and the others made their leisurely way to Pella and then waited for Philip to return, all of which took the best part of 2 months. The Athenians were not the only envoys there, and discovered deputations from all over Greece, including Thessalians, Thebans, Spartans, and Phocians. Such a gathering is unlikely ever to have happened in Macedonia before, demonstrating Philip's influence and how many other states were eager to win his favor. So we've gotten a little bit further along. They're somewhat agreeable to what's taking place, but there's going to be some things that come in the next time that kind of mess this up for a little bit, not too long, because Athens really needs the peace treaty. Now the sources for this, the Politics by Aristotle, the Histories by Herodotus, Histories, 12 volumes, by Diodorus Siculus, Peloponnesian War by Thucydides, and the Lives by Plutarch, Philip and Alexander, Kings and Conquerors by Goldsworthy, History of Macedonia, Volume 1 and Volume 2 by Hammond, In the Shadow of Olympus, The Emergence of Macedonia by Borgia. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.